There are very few camp consultant trainers in our industry over the past quarter century that have had the impact of Jeff Lykin. His impactful sessions at major camp conferences and his work with over 300 individual camps have utilized his unique insight on youth development. Some call him the camp counselor for camp directors. And we've snagged him for the next 45 minutes or so to talk shop about his philosophies and best practices with our teenage campers and staff. This is the Day Camp Pod.
This is the Day Camp Pod from Go Camp Pro, bringing you the best ideas, strategies, and discussions in the day camp industry. You can find our show notes at daycamppodcast.com. A big thanks to our sponsors who make the Day Camp Pod possible. The Day Camp Podcast is brought to you by CRS, Commercial Recreation Specialists, your go-to source for recreation solutions that will ensure your camp thrives. Explore their website today at crs4rec.com. CRS is serious about fun.
AM Skyer is a leading insurance and strategic partner for many of the finest camps in America. AM Skyer partners with camps to provide public relations, legal, medical, behavior support, and more. Experience the AM Skyer difference. Learn more at amskyer.com.
Welcome back to the Day Camp Podcast. I'm Andy Pritikin, director of Liberty Lake in the Philly suburbs of New Jersey, and I am riding solo today with the one and only Jeffrey Lykin. How's it going, Jeff?
Hey, Andy. Thanks for having me here.
Are you in San Fran?
I am Marin County, outside of San Francisco. I live in Marin County, so just over the Golden Gate Bridge.
So beautiful. So nice. So I was reading your bio before on your website. 2.5 million miles? Traveled?
You saw my most recent from United. It's actually closer to 2.8 at this point. I guess, you know, I don't think that as current as the airline app does. But yeah, it's been, and I'll tell you, the vast majority of this came after I stopped working at summer camp and, you know, directly during the summers and became a consultant and started my own private practice. And it just, the whole world opened up starting in about 1997 for me. So yeah, I travel.
Yeah. So when they said the world is flat, when Thomas Friedman said the world is flat, he meant like because of technology. He didn't mean because you've been flying from San Francisco to London all the time.
I can vouch when I'm over the Pacific on my way to China or something that it is definitely is a big curve that's there. But yeah.
Holy crap. So I remember the first time seeing you, it was at Tri-State. You were the young gun out there. And I was immediately taken by your storytelling ability. And I bring that up because yesterday I spent the whole day on Capitol Hill going into the offices of congressional leaders and talking to their 28-year-old staffers, basically. Mm-hmm. And what I really realized is that all of the data, all the information and stuff I can tell them about the camp industry is nice, but they just want to hear stories. It's just like their bosses, the politicians, they're really good at telling stories. Like, it's just such a great way for us to communicate as camp people. And I try to tell my employees when they're giving camp tours, you don't have to say like, that's the ropes course, right? Like, tell them a story. Mm-hmm. About the ropes course. So, you know, I think when I first saw you and I introduced myself to you, I said, you're like the Bruce Springsteen of cantors. Because the first time I saw Bruce Springsteen, I was more taken by his stories between his songs than the actual performance of his songs.
And that's definitely the New Jersey in you, Andy. So
I went reluctantly. I didn't want to be part of the Springsteen thing, but he definitely got me.
Look, when I first started to do the training work with summer camps, it came to me. I didn't go out and seek it. The owner of the camp that I'd worked at in Wisconsin, which was a boys summer camp called Timberland in northern Wisconsin, called me up. And it was about 5 years after I'd stopped working there. And he says to me, listen, Jeff, I've got a bunch of new staff. And, you know, I really, in all my years owning a camp, really never had a counselor who got camp as much as you did, loved it, and also goes and does work professionally with kids. How would you feel about coming to my orientation, help train my staff? And then he says to me, I'll fly you here and I'll pay you for it. And I remember saying to him, well, Mike, let me think about that for a little while. Okay. But literally, God's honest truth. I was on the airplane flying there and he connected me with about five other camps. So I was just going to sort of do a little thing there. And on the way there, I started thinking to myself, I don't even know what I'm going to say. I'm just kind of relying on that I'm going to have something to say. I mean, I know a lot of people plan out, you know, a whole curriculum and all this stuff. And I thought about it. I was like, well, if I could convey one message to the staff that really stayed with them and sort of became like a driving, you know, force for them, what would the message be? And the message was that one thing they say or do can change a child's life. And for the better or for the worse. And oftentimes you don't even know when you're doing it. And I just started referencing stories of things that happened when I was a camp counselor, you know, wins that I had, huge losses I had, experiences I had as a kid. And I just got up and started telling stories to the staff. And while I don't know how many of them remember any of the skills I was teaching at that point, they remember the stories. And so when you heard me speak at Tri-State back in 1997 or 1998 was when I first started doing that. Yeah. I'm sure you heard the stories, you know, and,
yeah. And I could tell you a couple right now. Like, honestly, like I was going to call this podcast the Light Cone because like, that's like one of my favorites. and you remember the story and it makes you remember the lesson in a way of the story.
Yeah. Mark Raybone, who called himself the Ray Bone, who decided after I helped him out with the situation, he was a teenager at camp, which is one of the things we're going to talk about today. You know, it came up to me in front of a group of people and said to me, you know, Jeff Lycan, the Ray Bone has decided you're a pretty cool guy. In fact, the Ray Bone has decided you've earned the right to be called the Lycone. And everybody starts laughing about it. Literally to this day, I have people who call me up on the phone who knew me from 35 years ago, you know, and it's like, Lycone, like my company's named after it. My license plate on my car, I have a custom license plate that says that, you know. But yeah, but that's one of the things is, you know, most of my professional life is working with teenagers, people like that guy, you know. And I just realized through the work at camp that there's just this vital role for all kids, but especially teenagers when they're at that stage where they're looking to people around them, trying to figure out the world, for there to be adults who are a little bit older and wiser, who have a real deep relationship with them, who they can turn to for advice, counsel, guidance, opinions, perspective. And I just built that. I literally one day I was teaching graduate school, and one of the grad students had a job working at a local school in San Francisco. And she called me up and she said, do you have a private practice? And I said, sure. Kind of like the invitation. Go. And so this mom calls me up and she tells me this story about her son and all the issues he's having. And they've tried therapists, whatever. And she says, you know, where's your office? And I had to think on my feet. And I said, well, I have this really unique practice. I actually come out to your home. And she goes, oh, that'd be wonderful. He's so much comfortable with her. But I literally just made this up. And the whole time I just kept thinking, I know how to connect with kids because I learned that at summer camp. I know how to connect in a way that I can put a smile on their face. I can make them feel better about themselves. I can have little nicknames and all that stuff. But then it's like, once you have a connection, well, what they need skills, they need to learn things, right? And I've built my professional practice essentially doing that, building, you know, connections and rapport with kids all over the world. Most it's teenagers I work with, high school, college students. And then realizing that, gosh, this world is so chaotic arguably for all of us, but they, you know, opinions, distractions, trends, you know, constant barrage of the social context or whatever. And I see kids get overwhelmed. And what we're seeing out there in the sort of mainstream world is this just massive surge in searching for mental health services, right? And I'm like, I don't think these kids are mentally ill. I think they're overwhelmed. And the more skills we teach them and the more sophisticated we help them be, the less overwhelmed they're going to be, right? So that's what I do. And I do a lot of that with camps now. That's why I go into camps and I run workshops, you know, and camp's like a super, super fun place to do it because for most of the kids, they're pretty tight, you know, they're comfortable being together. I know, you know, I can get them laughing and stuff, but we can talk about really cool topics and stuff with them. So all of it started at summer camp, all this stuff. I think, you know, when I first started the consulting work, I wasn't necessarily at zero air miles, but I wasn't that far from it, you know. But realizing the power and potency and the value of what we can bring if we choose to.
Right. And a lot of what you do, I know, is with resident camps. And, you know, last night, Jeff, I told you I was at this bar in D.C., and one of the people I was hanging out with was Kat Sangster. And I was telling her how I visited Indian Head Camp, now called Camp IHC, and I got there. And I didn't realize you were there. You had been there for like a week doing it. Maybe it was your Boys to Men thing. I don't know. And I got there at night, and it was a color war sing thing or something. It was in this like barn, and there was like 600 people scrunched into this thing, and it was a religious experience. It was unbelievably like resonant, you know, and you and I were sitting together because, you know, we were the only people like not really part of the camp kind of thing. And you know, I think that sleepaway camps have that ability more than day camps to create those like religious experience kind of things. Cause I know the kind of work you've done with my friend, Steve Baskin also. And you know, when you could take a group of kids off to like the side of a mountain, you know, like it's sort of like going into like a cathedral, you know, like as far as, you know, how it feels. I think that day camps right off the bat, when you start talking about this, part of their brain is they cop out a little bit and think, well, you know, we're sort of like, you know, on this like postage stamp of property, like on a flat thing. And we got this building here, and that's really about it. And then the handful of teenagers that we have, well, you know, they're sort of just here biding their time. And some of them are in this like counselor and training program, which is basically an indentured servant program where the parents pay and they work, but we're not going to tell them that. And, you know, one of the things you said before we started here, you said, you know, there's an enormous gap between what a day camp typically does and what we could be doing with these kids. So that's why you're here, buddy, because I want to talk about that, because I really do think that we, for whatever reason, we undersell it. And, you know, when we spoke before about this a week or so ago, I said that I think a lot of day camps, also camp operators, we subliminally think, well, let's put all of our time, our resources, our bandwidth into the little kids, because the little kids are going to be here for a while. You know, they're like our little annuity. And these teens, like, they're hanging on. They might go off to sleepaway camp. They might go off to sports camp, like whatever, you know. And I have found at my camp, now granted, my camp is not in a traditional camp area where kids just go off to sleepaway camp when they hit a certain age. So I'm fortunate in that way. But I have done a pretty good job of keeping them at my camp, because I've sort of molded my program towards what they, not just what they want, but what they need. So handing it off to you, start with what they need.
Yeah. Well, so look, my private practice, I mean, people who are listening to this, who work with kids, would understand some of this, the references I'm going to make with this. Okay. People on the outside are always like, oh, so you're like a therapist. Oh, so you're like a life coach, whatever. Like I set it up with the families who hire me that I work, you know, the kids can text me, call me, you know, year round, because they're in school, right? And they've got things coming up. And so what happens is I have this window into the day-to-day life of what it is to be a high school student or a college student today. I have an intricate, oftentimes intimate window in. And everything from whatever the latest terminology trend is, you know, that I need to learn to be able to speak with them, to, you know, what are the latest ways people are going about bullying each other or teasing people or excluding people, or how they're being manipulated or gaslit through social. I mean, it's like shocking to me. As a parent, it's shocking. As a practitioner of this work, it is fascinating and challenging. And what I recognize is that the world now is so complex. There's so many different paths they can go down. I'll give you an example. I got a call this morning from a mom. Her son's an eighth grader. They live on the East Coast. And she's been getting for the last couple of months call after call from the school, because her son, who used to be a straight A student and care about everything, is now wandering the halls and playing pranks and not handing in his homework. And the most recent one was a couple of days ago. He was supposed to go to the library to get a book or something. Instead, he and his two friends decided it'd be fun to go climb to the roof of the building in the middle of the day. And the kid's attitude is like, oh, what's the big deal? It's just school. Like, it's no one got hurt. Well, there's a trend on TikTok about this called urban exploring, called Urbex. And the idea of it is that you go and you find an abandoned building, or you find some place you're not supposed to go, or you find some you know, hotel in New York City, and you go up the back stairwell and you get to the top of it and have like this really cool, thrilling experience. But when you're a kid, how do you even discern what's safe and what's not safe? Right? You get information and ideas about, oh, take this supplement, it'll help you get stronger. How do you discern what's safe and what's not safe? And I can go on 100 examples of this, probably just from the last month alone, of stories that I hear. But I think that what happens is that there's so many possible paths they can go down. So many people telling them, this is cool, this is fun, there's no big deal with this, that they're overwhelmed by choice. They're overwhelmed by the opinions. And the gap that exists between the skills that they need and the maturity that they need to be able to make really smart decisions and navigate their way through this stuff is so great. And where's that gap going to get filled? I think it's the opportunity that you have and I have to fill that gap, whatever that means, whatever kind of workshop or something that we can offer them. Like when you're talking about in day camp, people think like, well, we only have this little piece of land or whatever. I go to overnight camps and just meet with kids for an hour.
Not only do we only have this little piece of land, and we only have this little bit of time, you know, and we structure everything on half hour periods, and we're basically like orange juice concentrate, and there's really no time to sort of take a deep breath and talk about deep things. Like it's a general kind of vibe.
It's just not true.
It's a cop-out.
It's simply a matter of that's how you're used to doing it. That's how you're used to structuring things. And it's easy to do that because you've got a system in place where every square foot of the land is being used by the 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, who's at the pool that time. But to be able to, like, at lunchtime, pull your CITs aside and sit with them and have them come, you know, sit on the back lawn or hang out with you for 45 minutes and discuss some topics that are just worldly important topics to talk about, go through like certain kind of social scenarios they get into and offer them multiple different skills about how to handle those things. What I find is like, I go into middle schools and do this with 13 and 14 year olds. What I find is, and you start to talk about something that's addressing an area where they feel anxious or they are excited or they are confused or they're having doubts themselves, and you start giving them something that's actually something they can apply in their life that would actually work, not only do they listen, they say, when are we doing this again? Like for me, success is when the kids come to me afterwards and go, when are we doing this again? And it's not because I brought them donuts, mm-hmm. right? It's because I fed them substance.
Right. Love it. Yeah. No, I just think that it's such an important age. And unless you really work with this age, you don't really appreciate that, right? I was a certified K-12 music teacher, and I taught kids when they were learning the instrument in elementary school, and I taught high school band, right? Middle school, holy crap. It was like, it was a battle getting through these like crazy cross wires in their brains, right? And some of these kids are like, they look like they're 25 and some of them look like they're 9 and they're all in middle school together. And the priority becomes looking cool in front of your friends and doing stupid stuff that from TikTok and things like that. But that's not the real person. That's just the outside person. And you can get into them, but it takes effort. And I say this all the time on this podcast. It has to be a priority if you really want it to happen. And if it is, then it can happen and it can be great. And it doesn't have to be a full-fledged, like, you know, leadership program in order to make this happen either. And it doesn't have to be a counselor training program where you're just training them to be counselors, because these are life skills that we're talking about. That you gave. And somebody that understands that will be a good counselor. If they want to be.
And it's, you know, so we talk about, okay, counselor and training. If you go by the definition, I'm training you how to be a counselor. That's what I'm training you how to do. You how to get a group to go from one place to another, how to help a homesick kid, right? It's counseling skills. Leadership training, this is a very common term that we like to, you know, that gets thrown around. Mm-hmm. If you're actually going to do what that says, I'm teaching you how to be a leader. Right. This is the 17-year-old girl in Florida who called me yesterday because she had this opportunity to introduce the big speaker coming to their school. And she was so nervous about it, but she's, you know, wanted advice on how do I do this introduction, you know, learning how to be a leader, whether it's speaking in front of people or, you know, managing a committee as you're planning out a special event. But there's a third option in this, which is how about just teaching you how to grow up and become an adult who can just rock their way through this world when other people are getting knocked sideways all over the place by it. And whether we do that under the guise of I'm training you to be a counselor, and part of that is teaching you communication skills or how to be patient with people who are different or not take things personally, because how universally valuable is that as a kid? Right? Somebody, sure. You know, camper comes up to go, I hate you, you're the worst ever, and you learn how to not take it personally. It's just a parallel, you know, to some kid coming up in school trying to get your goat, right? And you just don't take it personally. Or whether we just do it literally as a, you know, we're going to just get together periodically throughout the summer and talk about some really cool topics that are relevant to you that you're going to walk away at the end of the summer saying, one of the highlights of my summer, Andy, was that time, the times we got to hang out with you and, you know, whoever else, you know, is you're bringing in to do this, right? And talk about these topics and teach us skills, you know?
Yeah. And one of the things that we spoke about last week, I was telling you about my team program, which is very much like this. And you said, how do they feel about it? Like, what's the result of it? And I said, well, you know, when they're done with this program, they tell us it's the best part of camp that they've had in the 10 years they've been at my camp. And the parents tell me it was the most impactful part of my camp program over that entire time. So it absolutely is worth it. There's no doubt about it. We got to take a quick break to talk about our buddies at AM Skyer that helped pay for this podcast to come to you, ladies and gentlemen. So AM Skyer is the leading insurance and strategic partner for many of the finest camps in America. They partner with camps to provide public relations, legal, medical, behavioral support, and more. They also are really good at teaching safety, I have to say. They help you keep your eyes on the road as a camp director. They got online training programs specifically for AM Skyer clients. They send their folks out and help assess all kinds of risk management things. And they have a great actual training program. You can have someone on your staff be a certified safety person. It's named after Gene Uzerski. It's a really cool program. I've always had somebody on my staff that's trained in it. So anyway, check them out. The AM Skyer Difference. Check out amskyer.com. All right. So moving on back, Jeff. So if I said to you, okay, hey, here I am, this novice, you know, camp director, and I'm starting this camp in Marin County, which my friend Mario is. So this is a shout out to you, Mario.
And literally, by the way, his camp is about 5 minutes from where I live.
So. Oh, really? Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I'm thinking of doing a team program. Can you just give me some advice on how I can frame this thing? You know, what would you tell, you know, our friend Mario down there?
Yeah. So I actually might just do that. Actually, he and I are supposed to get coffee.
Awesome. I heard they got a bunch of kids enrolled.
Good. So I think that you have to, first of all, get into the mindset of your customers are not just the, you know, kindergarten through fifth grade crowd. That's really easy to program for at a day camp level, right? They're happy to go out, do activities. They're tired at the end of the day, they go home. Mm-hmm. You have to expand and you have to think our customer actually is all the way up into whatever age we decide to, you know, do this with, right? So is it eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade? And you start thinking, you know, well, when kids are young, the primary thing that they're into is activity, right? You talk to most kids about camp. What do you love about camp? I love the activities we do and my counselors make me laugh, right? Kids get to be older. It's typically much more about relationships, right? So, you know, being able to be with my friends. But there's another piece underneath it for most teenagers is they also like the power that comes from feeling trusted, feeling responsible. In the case of like the programs that you and I are talking about, from being equipped with skills that give them an advantage over other people. So I think that, you know, when you're starting this kind of thing, think in terms of these are also our customers, and what they need is opportunities to feel powerful and be empowered. So you build a program around how can we do that inside of the facility have and using the program that we have. So that to me is the first piece of the mindset of it. Young kids, you know, how do we create activities that are fun for them? You know, help them learn some things about having fun, obviously keeping them healthy and safe. Older kids, it's how do we give them chances to feel powerful and to empower them?
I understand right off the bat when you say that, what it means to feel empowered. What do you mean to feel powerful?
So when you give a 15-year-old kid who's been spending their year sitting in a classroom being talked at, having to follow all the rules, you know, doing...
Being told by their parents pretty much 99% of the time what you cannot do. Don't right. do that. Don't do that.
And then all of a sudden you give them this chance where you say, you know what? You guys... You know, we've been doing this, you know, whatever circus day here, the way we've been doing it for the last 20 years. You guys are perfectly capable of coming up with some other really creative, cool event day that we want to do. And I'm going to empower you to come up with an idea, put stuff together, come up with a budget for it, present it to us. You know, we'll work with you with it. We can have a staff advisor member, you know, as sort of part of this, so we can sort of stop you from going too far down the road because, no, we're not going to go, you know, have a helicopter come and fly everybody around. But just that kind of a thing where all of a sudden they're going, wow, this is the first time in my life that I actually get to be the one who designs the curriculum, not me being the recipient of it, right? I actually get to, like, make a fiscal decision. We have a budget to work inside. Yeah. They gave us $100 and... You know, we can figure out what we're going to do with that and we can figure this out. That's going to have stuff I'm talking about that for a lot of teenagers is actually like really cool and really exciting to do. As well as I keep saying this, it translates into real life skills that they need. So that's what I mean by it. How many opportunities for them to be the one when there's two campers who are having a conflict? Well, why don't you go talk to them?
Yeah.
Or I'll go with you. You do the talking.
Yeah. Well, right? I think in general, I mean, this is one of my things with day camp and camps in general, is that we're getting these kids, like you said, from the school year, where they basically have spent 9-10 months being told what to do by adults. You know, and here's our opportunity to turn that. And it does make them feel possible, powerful. And we do things like that where they help construct spirit events, as we call them at my place. And I think part of it also is that these kids, they're told what to do, and then most of the time they say that sort of sucked, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now you're in charge of it, so let's make sure it doesn't suck, right? Mm-hmm. Because if it shits the bed now, it's your fault, right? It's on you, and we're going to debrief that, by the way, you know? And at my camp, when they do that kind of thing, and they do a special event kind of thing, we're a big camp, so we have to do special events like in different periods for different age groups kind of thing. So we'll do it one age group and then we'll bring them together and talk about it. Okay, so what went well and what we're going to do better, because here come the third and fourth graders in 20 minutes, you know, kind of thing. And it really, you see the gears going in their head. And, you know, I've always been the kind of teacher that raises the bar and feels like you can aspire to this, right? When I was a music teacher, teaching elementary and middle school kids, I taught them jazz improvisation, and I had middle school kids that were playing bars with me, right? And they were doing it, and they were able to do it. And only because, you know, the thing that's amazing is that when people thought like, wow, that's amazing, because nobody would really give them a chance to think that they could possibly do that. Oh no, they're supposed to play this goofy music that's been written 40 years ago and that sucks. And, you know, but they can actually do really fun stuff and be really creative about it. And yeah, I just think we shoot low with teens, you know, and then we get what we pay for with it.
You know, you talked about how at your camp, they'll get a chance to do a spirit day or something like that. And then you'll debrief it afterwards. And a buddy of mine who's runs a startup in Utah, and he said that when they first started the company, they would do what's a very kind of common thing in the corporate world to talk about postmortem, like after you do a project, you know, and if it didn't go well or whatever, you sort of like, what went wrong? And he says, what we started doing was the postpartum instead, which is we find stuff that we did and we look at what worked, how were we successful, how can we benefit from that? And that even taking, I'm trying to think of like day camp where you don't even have to formally get them together for 45 minutes, right? You have a kid who's there as a CIT with a group, and they handled the situation and it worked really well. Even to just take 5 minutes with that particular teenager and say, you just did something like really amazing with that group of kids. Let's just talk for a minute about what you just did and why it worked. Because so often the nuance is what matters, right? The details of this stuff is what matters. So yes, when you start teaching them, like to start thinking of like how their life works, this is one of my big things with my clients is finding people who are having success in the areas you want to have success and figuring out how do they do it. So like if I'm a day camp director and I hear Andy somehow is running this program for teenagers, then they come and they say this is the best ever. Like, how does he do that? Right. So I think it's like all these little moments you have when you're walking across camp to go refill the water jugs, to be able to talk to one of these kids about, you know, did you notice when this was going on, how those two kids did this? And then when the other person came in and did this, everybody got quiet. There's a thing that that person does, which is this. And you start teaching them these things in that moment. And I'm telling you, for so many teenagers, those things like that, you know, you were joking earlier before we started this, when we were bantering back and forth about little nuggets, those little nuggets, invaluable. But you have to be willing to do them. You have to be willing to prioritize it instead of just safely getting through the day. It's like, how do we safely get through the day and also work with our teenagers to give them value, to give them skills?
Right. And part of the prioritization is putting really good staff there. And you know, to work with teens, you cannot put someone a year or two older with them in there. You need people who first of all, want to work with this age group, which is not easy to find. Okay. And then people who are cool enough. Okay. And not on a power trip. Right. And have the patience and the wisdom to listen, to not overreact, you know, to not just be reprimanding and telling them what they're doing wrong, you know, who really appreciate the complexity of this age. And by the way, those people don't come cheap. And so that's, again, goes back to the prioritization. Are you ready to pay $5,000 or $6,000 for somebody to do that, to work with this age group? Because you're not going to get some kind of like regular minimum wage or less kind of person to do this kind of work, because these are really good people and they need to be compensated as such. All right, so before we go into, I want to talk about what we can do with camp counselors, our young camp counselors at camp. We have to give a shout out to CRS, Commercial Recreation Specialists, because they are the go-to source for recreation solutions to ensure that your camp thrives. And you know, Jeff, what's been happening at camps lately is this like extreme heat that we get. And we day camps, you know, we're not out in the woods like your resident camp friends. And splash pads and shade structures, and I don't care what you got, you know, it's super important. We need to keep these kids cool, to keep the, you know, as we say at my camp, hydrate or dehydrate. And it's super important. So these guys do a really awesome job. They are middlemen. They find stuff from all over the planet and they bring it to you, and they're at all the conferences, and you got to check it out, because CRS is serious about fun. It's CRS, the number four, CRS4rec.com. All right. So camp counselors who, again, I'm generalizing about camps because I know that there's camps that pay them very well, but most of them pay them very poorly. And they come, and many of them are former campers, or many of them are kids that can't get a job at McDonald's for whatever reason. And they come to your camp. And in my mind, it's our like civic duty to not only just be working these kids, but to be teaching these kids too, because they're our future leaders. And if we want them to take responsibility and one day be in charge of a group of kids, it shouldn't just be trial by fire, which I feel like that's what it is at most camps. And they really don't have patience for these kids. Oh, it's just a dumb 16-year-old kind of thing. And to be having these kind of conversations you're talking about with a kid in a CIT program, how do we work that into our staff? And again, oh, we're a day camp. We don't have time to meet. They come off the bus. They go to swim. They do this, this. There are ways to pull them aside when it's instructional swim, right? They don't have to be standing there being a pool monitor. What's more important? Again, is it more important to have extra supervision to swim, or is it more important to be teaching these kids leadership skills and to be debriefing? The good things that they've been doing, not just where they're screwing up, the good things they've been doing. So anyway, any thoughts on?
Well, yeah, but on that note, I think that, when you frame it as, is it more important or whatever, you're going to get a lot of the people pushing back on that, because that's this or that. I think the whole thing that I think you and I agree on with this is it's not this or that, it's this and that.
Is it important?
Right. So this is my big theme that I've been on all my interactions with camp directors. And at this point, I still interact with lots of camps. I speak at the conferences. I have camps. I go out and run training, staff development trainings. I just did two of division leader trainings for camps in the last 5 days, just on Zoom calls. The biggest theme that I hear, and part of this is because this is stuff people bring to me. So there's probably other ones, you're going to get on the employment side or whatever, but it's just a lack of maturity, sort of foundational maturity that staff need. So we can teach people skills, but if you can't implement the skills in the moment when it's needed, all the skill teaching in the world isn't going to matter. We have to help them be mature enough to be able to actually do the job, not just know how to do it. They have to be able to actually do it. So one of the models that I have become really fascinated by in the last couple of years is coaching. Because coaching is like in the corporate world right now, it's like a $5 billion a year industry. Did you know this? You go to AT&T or whatever, like they're hiring people to come in and do performance coaching and management leadership coaching and stuff.
Is this a coming out of COVID thing? Is this because a generation has been stuck on screens? Like what do you attribute this to?
I think it's
are they just being smart because everyone's always needed coaches, right?
I think they're being smart, and I think they're recognizing that individual employees, especially, people, if I'm gonna be a little ageist about this, like the millennial age younger, early 40s and younger, very much prioritize their own personal growth, their own personal development.
Yes.
It's sort of a benchmark of knowing that that their life matters, that they're living the right way, whatever it is, right? Whether it's, in some cases and in the most shallow way, their own brand, but also just their own personal development. So when they have somebody coming in, and obviously, the corporate world, you're bringing in coaches or someone from the outside sometimes, whose only job is to work with you, to help you build up these skills, to be able to speak in front of people, to be able to manage difficult employees, whatever. There's a lot of times a lot of receptiveness and openness to it because it meets a need that goes beyond just their job performance. But the reason I'm bringing this up is, in my experience, camps, you talk about coaching in camps, they think the guy who's going to coach the basketball team.
Right.
They're not thinking, how do you work with a camp counselor using a coaching model with them to help them level up, right? So what I'm going with this, Andy, is that if you just train your staff and then every day get together, here's the schedule for the day, your program is going to be whatever your program has typically been. If you add in a third component, which is, here's where you're starting day one, where do you want to get to by the end of week 9? Of the summer in terms of your own personal goals, your own personal skills that you want to be able to develop. So, you're not comfortable speaking in front of large groups of people. You want to get to the point by the end of the summer where you personally can get up and speak in front of a large group of people and hold their attention captive, right?
Yes.
You want to be able to tell stories, is like the one that you referenced about me. But I think when you start with the staff members to actually help them set goals for themselves that they want to achieve by the end of the summer, and you add in, you've got 8-9 weeks of summer with them to work with them, to help them get to that point where they can do that. You're not only helping them personally in a way that's very appealing, to develop something that they're going to be able to take back into their life. You're also elevating the quality of your staff and what they're going to deliver to the kids. So my thing with staff is if they're not mature enough, and they struggle to be able to, stay cool under pressure. That's a very common one. Certain people push my buttons and I just get irritated and I end up losing it or something. And you work with them over the summer to become a person who can be around all these personalities and keep your cool. You can actually use just the whole part of managing them in camp and adding in a little bit of coaching with them to address a much deeper need and improve your camp. And the only thing is, how do you do it? How do you, you know, what's the models of how to do coaching? This is stuff that I've gotten involved in right now. It's sort of a big thing that I'm, you know, professionally getting involved in right now and training people to do. But it's not hard to do. It just has to become a priority.
So what are some of the pillars of coaching versus, let's say, mentoring? Is it sort of the same thing?
Well, in this case, I would say an easier question to answer is the difference between coaching and problem solving, or coaching and managing, right? So you have, you know, a staff member who comes to you and says, I cannot stand working with these two people you put me at the pool with. You know, they just want to gossip all the time. Half the time, they're not paying attention to the water. You know, you need to just replace them. That's a typical thing, right? They're going to come and tell you the solution, okay? You know, you need to talk to them and get this fixed, right? Problem solving would be, okay, let me, you know, talk to this person. I'll handle this stuff because it's just easier to do it. You know,
well, it's also what these teens' parents have been doing for them their whole life. But yes,
problem solving is also, here's what you should do, telling them what to do. Here's how you should handle this. Okay. Coaching would be, okay, let's take a look at all the things that are going on. Let's get very clear what it is that you want. Let's talk about the different options of the role you can play in solving this problem. Let's pick one of those that you're actually going to go try and implement. We can practice it, role play it together. You go do it, and then let's meet up again at the end of the day before you get on the bus. Or I'll give you a quick call tonight, you know, at 6 o'clock tonight, and we can talk about how your conversation with that person went. That's coaching. So now what I'm doing is I'm training their brain to start thinking of solutions. I'm helping them learn skills. Coaching, I'm there for performance, make sure you're actually doing it, supporting you, encouraging you. And then I'm checking in with you afterwards to, you know, to unpack what went on with it. That's coaching. Problem solving is, I'll take care of it for you. You know, I'll get the, you know, activity area head to deal with this, or, you know, why don't you go do this? You hear the difference? And that kind of just training people to be their own resourceful person, to take on new skills, to push themselves and have you cheering them on, coaching them to do it. So powerful to do. So simple. Three minutes.
I can hear my son in the background saying, "Dad, don't you know these young people, they just want to Google it and know how to do it.
Yeah.
Like they just want it to get it. Just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it," you know, that kind of thing. And you know, as I've gotten older and now I've sort of missed a boat as a parent because I've had my parenting time, but like I encourage parents all the time now to do what you're saying and you know, give them some ideas and look at them and say, figure it out, you know, like let's try one of these things, see how it goes. And then we'll talk about it. You know, it seems basic, but I think that goes back to the day camp thing, day camp specific. We're moving, we're grooving. Come on. We got to get the kids here. It's that lack of patience because the day is so quick and fast paced. And listen, Jeff, we're boarding the buses in 20 minutes. Okay. Kind of feeling that day camp puts forth. And I think that it takes real intentionality from your middle management people to think this way and to be like, again, this is important. This is important. We're trying to not just solve the problem, but we're coaching this young staff the same way that we're trying to coach an 8-year-old in the group.
So Andy, I started my little tangent about using coaching with staff by saying, if you think you have 9 weeks, as opposed to we have 9 minutes, right? So if you just start with everybody at the beginning of the summer and they identify, here's an area where I see people who are so much better than I am and I want to be better at that. Here's something that I get nervous about and I want to overcome that fear. Here's personality types that I just, they annoy me so much and I want to learn how to be around them. You help them identify even one thing. You have an entire summer to take those 9-minute segments and help them build that piece in place. If you treat this as every day is survival until the very end, which is what happens.
Yeah, hold on.
Right. And then, you know, even if they're not bus counselors, as other ones are just hot, tired, and want to get home, you know, what happens is you just had all sorts of opportunities that you just didn't take advantage of. And it's fine. You'll have status quo, and status quo maybe from a business standpoint is good enough. But from the level of filling the gap between what these kids need to be able to go out there in this world, and you know, 40% of college students right now are either seeking out mental health treatment, taking semesters off from school, leaving school altogether. 60% takes six or more years to graduate. I'm talking college, not high school.
No, I got it.
These numbers are, they're stunning numbers, right? And the upsurge and kids going off are just not prepared to problem solve, right? To be able to handle basic setbacks that happen in their life. I did a parent ed talk the other night for a local high school. It was all on Zoom. I had 60 parents. And unbeknownst to me, my next door neighbors have a 16-year-old daughter who goes to the high school. So right afterwards, the dads texted me. My wife and I were, and so last night I was actually hanging out with them, and the conversation was about how do you prepare kids to understand about money? And one of the other parents, was another parent who was there, says, I don't know how you can teach kids about money until you give them the experience of not having money. Right? You can talk about it till you're blue in the face, but when you actually like force them to not actually have money, right? So, but we're all talking about it. It's critical we teach them this stuff, right? If we're going to, help these kids be able to go off to college one day and deal with difficult personalities and roommates who they don't like, and we want them to go succeed and they've never had to do it and they've never been coached on how to do it, they wind up calling home in tears, I made the wrong decision, I shouldn't be here. We teach them how to do that kind of thing. We teach them how to, manage multiple details at any one time. They are so much better prepared for college and for life afterwards.
All right, buddy. I really appreciate the time that you're giving. There's been some really, really great stuff there. And I really appreciate your attention to the world of teens right now. Big fan of Jonathan Haidt. I saw him recently in his books and all, and talking about, the toll that social media and screens and stuff has taken on females. And you and I have been talking for years about how boys are just like, oh my God, everybody, we've been telling the girls for the last 30 years now, you need to work twice as hard and all this kind of stuff. And the boys are in the basement picking their nose, playing video games. Right. All this stuff sort of comes to a head in the teenage years. And the whole, your last 5 minute soliloquy you gave was just literally the best advertisement for sending your kid to camp ever. But it's also, we can't dismiss it when they get to be teens, right? We shouldn't just put them on the conveyor belt to become counselors or whatever. And just think that again, by trial by fire or photosynthesis, you're going to gain these skills, right? The thing I'm going to take away most from this conversation was that your 9 seconds, 9 minutes versus 9 weeks thing, yeah, that it comes in little segments and we need to take advantage of these teachable moments when they come and look for them. Look for them as opportunities. But
I really want to emphasize, set it up in the beginning that over the course of the summer, there's going to be these 9 minute segments or 90 second segments where we're going to continue to revisit your goal for the summer. And I'm going to coach you through this, including finding situations where you can actually go and apply what we're doing. And I'm going to do everything I can to ensure that when you leave here at the end of the summer, that thing that you're now nervous about, you will no longer be nervous about. That thing that you now struggle with, you'll be mastering it. Right. So we set up at the beginning, we get their buy-in, that they want that. And then we work with them over the summer to figure out how we're actually going to do that.
I just want to role play with you for a second here. So here I am, okay, the well-meaning middle management unit leader, right? And I'm explaining this to the 16-year-old, first job, right, kind of kid. Let's just say never even been to a camp before and all this. And I'm asking them what their goals are. And this kid is just looking at me like, I don't even know what you're talking about, right? I tend to think that that's a big stumbling block with a lot of teenagers, is that they can't give a really good goal. They can't give a really good answer. Even the ones that have been to camp, because they just like, no, I'm on the conveyor belt, right? I'm going to do this and then I'm going to get a t-shirt and then I'm going to tell the kids what to do. And right, like, I don't know. So how can we help these 16-year-olds come up with a good goal? How do we what kind of questions can we ask them?
So now we're talking, how would I structure a workshop on this? And I'll tell you my shortcut way that I do this. Uh-huh. is every one of us knows people in the world, whether people we know personally or people we observe out in the world, who have certain character traits that we really admire, maybe even envy. And we realize if we had those character traits too, even if we had half of it, what a difference it would make in our lives, how much more confident we would be, how much more potent we would be able to go out and do stuff. And what I want you to do is think about what are some of the character traits that you see out there that you either don't have at all, but you'd like to have, or you have a little bit, but you'd like to be way better at as the summer goes on. Do you like to get to the point where by the time you go back to high school for senior year, or you're going off to college next year, like you've mastered this one? And that's a really easy way, because now I'm not asking you to do self-reflection and find, you know, weaknesses in yourself. I'm asking you to look in the world and go, gosh, I wish that I could get up and play guitar and entertain people the way that Andy can. You know, I wish I could tell stories the way this person can. I wish, you know, that I was the kind of person who people would come to for advice the way that they go to you for advice, right? There's a basketball player who has this crossover dribble that's so much better than mine. And I don't really care what they come up with, because to get good at a crossover dribble, it's all the same character traits, right? It's precision, it's getting good coaching, it's the discipline, it's practice, it's developing, you know, the mindset of an athlete, right? So that's what I do. I just ask them to think about character traits that they would like to have more of. Easiest way is think about people in the world who have it that they don't have, or have it at the level that they don't have yet and that they want. And for people to identify one that really would excite them if we could successfully help you develop that. Right. And you got to be prepared. Listen, I totally, we're talking about teenagers. Well, my buddy, man, he's great at getting girls, you know? And I know some people are like, oh, we can't go there. You know, this is like not appropriate, whatever. Like, no, you totally go there.
Yeah. You have to anticipate that.
You totally go there, you know? Because I'm not going to teach you how to go out there and be one of these guys who can bring every girl home or whatever, but I'll tell you something your buddy definitely has if he's better at it than you.
Yeah, he's got confidence.
Charisma and confidence, right? And charisma is more than riz. I don't know if you know that term. That's like a real, you know,
yeah. Kind of term. I know the riz, yes.
But I get into this with him, you know? It's not just riz. It's not just like, oh, some one-liner pickup thing, right? It's how do you actually be a person that when somebody interacts with you, they feel good about themselves and they feel good about life. That's what makes you attractive. I just spin it, you know, to get people to understand when you sit and just talk about yourself all the time, no wonder no one's interested in you, right? But when you get good at, like, you know, making people laugh and putting a smile on their face or asking them questions about themselves, all of a sudden, you know, you're a more attractive, more compelling person. Right. So, I mean, whatever they come up with, there's character traits that they will need to be good at that thing that are applicable in camp and for the rest of their life.
Love it. Thank you for that shortcut. That was an awesome, awesome shortcut. That was a freebie, ladies and gentlemen, from Jeffrey Lycan. And also, I love that it was at the end of the podcast, because, you know, research shows that there's a strong percentage of people that don't make it to the end of the podcast. So for you listeners that made it, you got the Jeff Lycan shortcut. That was great. I'm going to be sharing that with my people. That is really, really superb way to frame it. And sometimes that's just what people need. They just need, like, that little ladder to get to that moment.
Yeah.
So I want to thank AM Skyer and Commercial Regulation Specialist for allowing us to bring this podcast to you, as well as our awesome editor, Jotham. And if you like what you hear, you should subscribe to the Day Camp Pod on your favorite podcast platform. Check out our show notes from all our episodes at daycamppodcast.com, as well as contact info of the show. Jeff Lycan's contact info will be there as well. And, of course, for myself and Sam Thompson, who couldn't make it today. She's still in Washington, D.C., banging on doors of senators and such. So thanks for listening and making yourself a better Day Camp Pro. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode of the Day Camp Pod.
The Day Camp Podcast is brought to you by Go Camp Pro and the Go Camp Pro Podcast Network. Find a podcast for camp professionals of every age and stage at gocamp.pro/podcast. Thanks for listening, friends. Hey, Camp Pros. We love that our industry is built on sharing. In order to foster that spirit, if you've gotten even one good idea from a Go Camp Pro podcast, a masterclass, from the Summer Camp Pros group on Facebook, at a conference, or wherever else, we ask that you give credit where credit is due. That way, we can encourage camp pros to keep freely sharing their brilliant ideas and make the camp industry better. Thanks very much.